Our sermon text for this morning is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 12th verse. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. And we pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. So in case you didn't hear, today is Valentine's Day. And it's kind of one of those days where if you don't like it, you probably really, really, really don't like it. It's just kind of one of those things. And I say that just before I say I'm sorry in advance for possibly fueling your silent rage against Valentine's Day, because I'm going to tell a story about when my wife and I were dating. We had a conversation, one of those getting to know you moments, and she said that she had a strong preference for mayo over Miracle Whip, so the condiment mayo. Yeah, exciting conversations, I said there really wasn't much of a difference between the two, and I didn't really have a preference. It's just like, it's basically the same. And her reaction was basically that was the most offensive answer that I could give. Like, she would have preferred that I loved her nemesis, Miracle Whip, than that I just say there's no difference. And yet, since she's not here and I can say whatever I want, don't you have to admit that the two are really quite similar? You practically can't define Miracle Whip without first saying it's basically mayo, or it's kind of like mayo. They're that similar. And just like that mayo and Miracle Whip, how similar they are to each other, our text this morning challenges us in the differences we see among other human beings. And it says, there's so many differences and distinctions that we make that really don't matter to God. They don't make a difference to Him. And so those differences just plain don't make a difference to Him. Paul speaks of Christians being one body. And he talks about that there are, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. He's saying that these distinctions that are so big in the world around him, status, race, things like that, do not affect our status relationship before God. We have the one Spirit baptized into the one body through faith. And yet this distinction isn't just, even though he's talking specifically about the church, also includes everyone around us as we see them as potential members through faith, not through many of these earthly distinctions. Simply don't make a difference to God. And so we can see this and take this to heart best, first of all, looking at an extreme difference we might make between people, types of individuals. And one of that is, what is the difference between you and I and some criminal convict in jail? What's the difference between me and some drug dealer or criminal or murderer or bank robber? Have I made better decisions? Have I been a little bit of a better person to be where I'm at today? Well, no. We all have the same equally fallen, corrupt human nature that began with Adam and Eve's fall into sin. I can't look at who I am or where I am today and say it's because I'm somehow even a little bit better than some other person over there. And Paul, earlier in Corinthians, makes that quite clear when he says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? And so with that, he emphasizes anything good that I have, whether earthly or spiritual, is entirely the result of God and his work. There's absolutely no room for boasting. And yet, at that, all we can do is stand utterly baffled, mouth open, baffled, staring off, baffled, because we know our human nature is equally fallen and corrupt, and yet God's love, his desire for all to believe and be saved, is equally urgent for all. I don't know why a difference is there. And that's probably why Paul asked questions, rhetorical questions instead of statements there. We don't know how to make a distinction because that sinful nature is equally bad for all of us. And so if I can't even make that distinction between me and some criminal, how much more foolish is it when we make distinctions between us individuals and the many differences that people want to make between people in the world around us. Our text goes at Jews and Greeks, slave and free. There are many other things that fit that category in today's context, whether it's racism, sexism. We sometimes can have arrogance in looking down at others for the tiniest minute things, even though, like the miracle whip and mayo, there's far more similar between all of us human beings than there are differences. And yet, in our sinfulness, we do make these distinctions in a very bad way. I mean, do we always go out of our way to stick up for and speak well of people of different races or backgrounds? Do we treat them well as equal human brothers? Do we stick up for them? Sometimes we treat something like racism as a problem that is only out there and somewhere else with really, really bad other people, not me. And yet if we take our human nature seriously, we should take that as a problem that's serious for us as individuals as well. And even with status, slave or free, as it's mentioned, do we treat people better based on who they are, where they've come from? Do we look down at others because of, I've worked hard to get where I am, and so-and-so hasn't, and so look how much better I am? Often when there's arrogance and pride, there's also highlighting differences that don't really exist because of us. Because anything good we have has to be from God. There's no room for the sinful arrogance and pride that we often exhibit. And we should be big on equality because Jesus was, and in a very beneficial way for each and every one of us. He looked and saw our sinful, fallen, corrupt human nature, and with the great equality of his love, he said, I'm going to come take on human flesh, is what our Lord did, though true God, and save and have equal concern and love toward all. He went up on that cross and died to pay for the sins of all. He bore the sins of the whole world on that cross without distinction. He had this great equal love toward all. And with his resurrection, he conquered that which is the great equalizer among all people, right? We're all going to die, everyone. So should we link arm in arm knowing, yeah, we have a great deal of equality. We have a lot of stuff we can relate to. We're going to die. And I know that's pretty morose on a Valentine's Day. But, we are going to die. And yet Jesus is the great equalizer for that, that he has conquered death with his very own resurrection. And that we can look to him and know we too will rise, we too have glory. And he's conquered that great problem for us. The text emphasizes that we've been made and given to drink the one spirit to drink. And that means that all of his benefits, his equal forgiveness, his salvation, his eternal life is ours because his Holy Spirit has been given to us through faith, which comes through the word and baptism, which is also emphasized in this text. So it's not a pat in the back moment. It's a gracious moment where we realize he has truly done and given everything to each of us individually. And so, though the age-old debate of miracle whip versus mayo will continue to rage in the world around us, it's my hope that as we've looked at this text, we've seen that there's far more we have in similarities with many different people around us here and in the world than there are differences. We find equality in our corrupt, sinful human nature and our lost condition that we would have by that nature. And yet we find equality knowing that Christ has forgiveness and his saving work equally in mind for each and every one of us. And there are many distinctions that people make in this world, and yet those distinctions don't have an impact on our status and how we can approach God. It's only by having this one spirit to drink, this faith that he's worked into our hearts, incorporating us into his body. And that reality flavors our Christian life as we look at the different people around us. Just as that reality flavors each and every day of our lives as we find comfort and peace, knowing who I am, where I am, and what I have is entirely by God's work and grace alone. Amen.